Yeah, I don't know if it's humidity or what. They've worked on it a couple.
The committee will come to order, and we will start with the calling of the roll.
Senators Holmberg.
Here.
Armstrong.
Yep.
Heckman. Klein.
Here.
Oban.
Here.
Shively.
Here.
Sorvag.
Here.
Wardner.
Aye.
Representatives Carlson, Balu.
Here.
Devlin.
Here.
Hogan.
Here.
LaFour.
Here.
Lauzer. Mock.
Here.
Schmidt.
Here.
Seibel.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is consideration of the minutes of our May 11th meeting. Could we have a motion? It was moved and seconded. Klein, I heard Klein seconded. So take your pick. Any discussion? All in favor of the minutes being approved, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have one major historic item actually on our agenda today, and that is the appointment of a director for Legislative Council. And as you know, it doesn't happen often. The council, or management, decided we were going to go internal, and a process was put forth of a timeline, and we had one application for that position, and that was John Bjornson, who is in the room today. And we will have an opportunity in a few moments to ask him any questions that you have. And then we will have a discussion and a vote on whether or not we will accept the one applicant we have. And there's no abstentions, so we all have an opportunity to vote and no write-ins. So I guess, John, would you approach the bar? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we do have extra copies of the material that was emailed to the members of Legislative Management last week. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, even where you grew up, et cetera, for those who don't know?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm John Bjornson. I've been with the Legislative Council staff for 30 years. Started here, actually, it was about this week in 1988, first week after the 4th of July, 1988. It was right after my graduation from the UND School of Law. I attended UND for 7 years, 3 years at the law school, also got an undergraduate degree there in political science with a minor in history. I grew up in Edinburgh, so I've spent the first portion of my life in the eastern part of the state, moved here in 1988, really thought this was going to be probably a 2 or 3 year job to figure out what I wanted to do in life, and I learned fairly quickly that this is what I wanted to do. So here I am 30 years later, having enjoyed 30 years at the Legislative Council, and hopefully looking forward to another several years here. Some of you have talked to me individually and asked me a little bit about, whether how long I'd stick around if I were appointed to this position, and I'd like to assure you now that if I were appointed, I would continue to make this my my career and hopefully be around for several more years. I feel that I'm not ready to, although I am eligible for retirement, I'm not ready to quit working. I do have a high school age daughter who I think is going to want me to continue working for a while. Any other questions about my background, Mr. Chairman? I can tell you over my years here, I have worked. I've been fortunate. The previous directors, Jim and John Osrud, and the legal head at the time, Jay Brainrud, were good about moving me around in various areas, different portfolios that we work in. You know, typically we kind of focus on two or three areas in our job, and then have some minor areas that we also are responsible for. I had the at the time it wasn't always something that I necessarily welcomed, but I learned to realize quickly that it was a good thing that they moved me around. So I've done a number of things, and my primary focus over the years was probably state and local government law and elections, but I did a number of interims with economic development issues, job service, workers' comp, all types of labor things, just a real variety, and I learned to appreciate that, especially the last few years as legal director, when I realized that background in a variety of areas is really helpful in reviewing the work of the other attorneys. So I'm grateful for that, although I might not have always expressed that to the previous supervisors when they said, guess what, you're going to do workers' comp this interim. So I think that's prepared me well for the job that I'm in now, and would there's always learning to do, and that's one thing that I guess I found is a strength of mine, that I'm willing to learn and I'm able to learn fairly quickly.
One of the areas you discussed in your application was work you did along with Alan Knutson to repair the relationship between the legal and fiscal divisions. Could you talk a little bit about that
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Uh, 11 years ago or so, when we last went through this process, there were a couple excellent candidates for the position, Jim and Jay Brainrud. Both have been with the office for a long time, and I think both were deserving of consideration and would have done an excellent job as director. When Jim was appointed, the job had always been an attorney had always been the director of the office up until Jim was appointed, and I think for a while after that there was some conflict or just tension in the office between probably the legal and the fiscal staffs, and that's I think not something's probably natural. It was a big change. It was something that both candidates were good candidates, but one had to be chosen, and the decision was made, there's been some turnover in the office, different personalities. We've got a lot of new staff, fiscal, legal, and otherwise. And I think Alan and I and Jim made some efforts to try to make sure that the new staff and the existing staff worked together better, that there was more contact between the legal and fiscal, and that we worked more as a team, and we could put all that behind us, and we have. I think right now we're in a very good situation with a lot of new people, or we've actually sort of tried to arrange some of the office space so there's not a segregation of legal and fiscal. We've tried to, you know, assign a legal and a fiscal person to be responsible for certain areas. So if you've been on a budget committee, you might have seen one of the attorneys down sitting in the room many times as well, just following and being able to be a resource to the person on the fiscal staff and the same with them with the legal staff. So I think I know we've moved beyond some of those hard feelings that were there. It took a little while in some cases, but we're I think a cohesive team right now with all three. We also have the administrative services division, and I think the directors of each of the divisions have done a good job to make sure that we are a team and working as one.
I have one other question, and then I'll call on Senator Wardner next. In a political environment in which the words nonpartisan and bipartisan have become pejorative terms to many, as Director of Legislative Council, how do you see yourself operating in such an environment? I'm speaking both of the political party differences and then the differences and sometimes disagreements between the Senate and the House. How do you see yourself in that role?
Mr. Chairman, it's always a difficult position for us. First of all, when we take this job, we commit to being nonpartisan. And sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's maybe not so easy, but we understand that that's all part of the job, that we work for both parties, that isn't an issue at all, the ability to, I don't think for us, or at least for me or any of the people I know, to set any personal feelings aside politically and do our best, because we know our job is to work for the legislative branch, the institution. And that leads to the second part of your question, I believe, where there are two houses and you're not always in agreement, and it's our job to balance that. We work for both houses. It can be difficult when one person is sort of responsible for dealing with rules and procedures. I can give you an example. In 2015, I was often going between the leaders' offices with questions, well, what are we going to do? And how are we going to end this session? We have the responsibility not to share what the Senate Majority Leader or any other leader has told us or that we discussed. We can't share that with any other leader. We have the confidentiality pledge that we take, and as attorneys and accountants, I think we also have that professional responsibility to treat all that information as confidential. That being said, I would like to put us in a position where one person is not necessarily the only person that deals with certain issues like rules and procedures, and that we have more a broader range of expertise among all the professional staff, so that you don't have to rely on the same person in both houses. We're still going to talk, we're still going to compare information, but we're going to maintain that confidentiality, and we're going to give each of you the same degree of respect and honesty that every other member deserves and will have.
Senator Wardner.
Mr. Chairman and John, I have two questions, and they're real, you can kind of put them together. Number one, how would you characterize your leadership style? I would like you to do that. And then a vision for the future, new innovations for Legislative Council. Have you thought about what you might be looking at going forward for some changes that will be positive and make Legislative Council more effective?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Wardner, my leadership style, I think I'm fairly low-key. I like to, I don't think it would be described as authoritative in any way. I prefer a teamwork approach. I think with the legal staff over the last few years, we've made efforts to become more collaborative, where we will talk issues over amongst ourselves and not have these silos where one person that deals with each issue. So I think that in general would describe it. I believe that it's best to lead by example. If the people in management positions are willing to work hard, I think everybody else sees that and they're willing to do the same. If that means, you know, stay until 9 or 10 at night or working on the weekends, that's what needs to be done. And then I think that shows if I'm willing to do that, others will be more willing to do that as well. But in short, I guess collaborative teamwork and lead by example rather than by words. Your second question, which I need to remember. vision. How, you know, I have ideas on, you know, little tweaks here and there. I think Jim has done a good job leading us over these last 9 years and looking at innovation and doing things differently. Some of that, I agree. One of the key things that he has done is insisted on, you know, improving our quality, our work product quality. I would continue to do that. I would like to do more in assuring that final work product that goes out our door is absolutely as good as possible. You know, so I'd like to look at different ways that we review the work as we go out. We don't need to reinvent the way we do things. That's not where we're at. We just need to be better and to get better every day. We need to be more efficient and more proficient in our areas. I'd like to, we all, legal and fiscal anyway, and IT guys in some respects we all have a need for continuing education and professional development. Whether it's required by our professions or it's just required to become better in your jobs, whether even the every last person up in the office needs to have some way of getting better, and I'd like to look at different ways of doing that. Particularly, you know, it's easy for legal and fiscal to do that. We have the NCSL provides us the absolute best professional development opportunities available. You know, I can go to a continuing education seminar in Fargo on family law, and it might cost us $700-$800 for me to drive to Fargo, spend the night in a hotel, sit in a conference all day. It's not going to do me a whole lot of good for what I do. I can, you know, for a little bit more or even better through an NCSL webinar or other electronic means, get the training that I need that makes me better at my job. And I would like to, with our staff, emphasize that professional development. With the legal staff, over the last couple years, I've tried to give everybody the opportunity each year to attend an NCSL conference. There's one professional development seminar just focused on legal and research. I think that's an excellent opportunity for us to learn. We've done webinars. Typically we'll gather in our conference room, and even if the webinar isn't necessarily the greatest presentation, excuse me, we'll sit there probably for an hour afterwards and discuss. And I think that's really helpful to all of us. We've done some of those in conjunction with the fiscal staff, and we've had great discussions that way. One of the other things that I'd like to do, and Jim has tried to kind of get this going, and it's hard to find time when we have, you know, 34 people all at the office, all available on one day. But it's really helpful for us to gather as a group on occasion and have one or two of the staff members make a presentation to them on what the hot topic of the day is or what we're working on. And that's helpful for everybody. So I'd like to do things like that, to continue to do those things to develop the staff. I think, right now we have 34 people on the staff. On the day that Jim was appointed director, end of November 2007, there's only five of us still working here, not including Jim on that day. Vonette, Jennifer, Alan, I, and Andrea Cooper upstairs and on our support staff. Over the last, if we look at our list of employees, approximately half, I think 16 of the 34 have begun working here within the last 5 years. So we need a lot of teaching. We need the more experienced people on the staff to be good mentors and to do their best to make us all better. It's vital that we have some plan for succession. None of us are guaranteed to be here tomorrow. So we need to develop the staff. We've got some great younger, newer people on staff, and part of my vision would be to make certain that they're prepared to step into leadership roles sooner than later. I realize that only 2 years ago when I stepped into the role I'm in now and John Walstead left, I sat down and went, well, I thought I had it all figured out after 28 years, but there's a lot to learn still, and we all need to realize that, and we have to be good at working with each other to prepare everybody to do the best job they can do. Because, I'm rambling on for one little question here, but we feel a responsibility, and this kind of goes back to Senator Holmberg's question. We're the only staff for you. You're citizen legislators. All the other judicial branch and executive branch officials, elected officials, have offices in the building here, and they have their own staff here on a daily basis. But they're here. You're here when you come for meetings and for sessions every 2 years. So we feel and we believe we have the responsibility to look out for the integrity of the legislative branch and to protect the legislative branch. We feel we have the responsibility to let you know when something is occurring in one of the other branches that would infringe upon the authority of the legislative branch, because you're one of three co-equal branches, but you're at a disadvantage because you don't have that full-time presence that the other branches have, and it's our responsibility to be that full-time presence and to keep you informed and make certain that you have that equal standing.
You had one additional question.
I do, Mr. Chairman, John. Well, first of all, the succession thing, I'm glad you brought that up. I agree with you on that. That is really important. And as you mentioned, we've had a lot of new employees, and I would have to commend Mr. Smith for the job that he's done in replenishing the staff, because I think the Legislative Council staff is excellent. We really appreciate each and every one of them. But as leader and going forward, just comment on what would you be looking for in new members? What are some of the traits, characteristics? Because really, when you talk about providing a quality product, it really boils down to the people in those offices that produce the product. So what are some of the qualities that you look forward for in those new hires?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wardner, we've gone through hiring attorneys the last few years, and I've found that it's not always best to look at their academic accomplishments. It's great if they're number one in their class, but what we do is unique. It takes a special person. They have to have a commitment to the job, and I think we were able to Actually, we had a hard time hiring a few years ago. We didn't have a lot of applicants. We went out and did a little recruiting, and we found really good people. And what we found is they had a desire to be good writers. They like to have a broad focus on their job. They didn't want to focus solely on one singular issue. They like the challenge of having something different every day. So those are the types of things you look for. The one thing that I really would look for is the idea that they would want to make a career of this. I've worked under two directors in my 30 years. They had different philosophies in some things, but they had probably three things in common. One was look out for the integrity of the legislative branch. Secondly, that they wanted to be certain that we'd provided a quality work product. And we've really, really worked hard the last several years on trying to improve our work product. And the third thing is having been able to recruit and retain good employees. And my first holiday party 30 years ago, I remember John Osgood giving a speech about all the people in the room that had been there for a certain number of years, and how John Osgood, Jay, Chet Nelson, those guys have been there a long time already at that point. I heard the speech and I went, okay, great, and let's get to dinner. And then I heard the speech again the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and it finally kind of sunk into me that he was making a point that this should be a career destination. And that's what I would like with these, the people that are working with us right now, is that they would look at this is what they want to do. Like I said, I probably started out thinking this is a two-year deal, but it sunk into me that this is a great place to be and a great job. And that would be one of the things I'd really look for and continue to look for in an employee, is someone who really understands this job. They understand the importance of it. They understand the uniqueness and the variety that you have, and that they want to make this a career destination. And then we have the responsibility of assuring that they will do that. And that's part of the difficult part. One, we can work on professional development, but two, we have to do other things to make certain that they want to stay here. And we'll kind of hopefully address that as well. So,
Representative Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and John. Just a couple questions, and I'm kind of glad that you talked a little bit about vision and staff and other things. I mean, the first question I actually have is pretty, relatively basic or simple, but it's, you mentioned 30 years ago you started here. So thinking back, why did you originally apply to be an attorney with Legislative Council? What brought you here in the first place?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, I wish you wouldn't have asked that question.
Yeah, it's...
So, 30 years ago, the placement office at the law school was a bulletin board out in the hallway with postcards on there listing jobs, and I saw this listing, and I had taken a class in legislation. I had taken a lot of classes in things really like state and local government, state constitutional law. So it piqued my interest, and I thought, well, I'll apply. The difficult thing, not a lot of people know who we are and what we are, what we do. And back then, I didn't have the luxury of going to the computer and sitting down and searching it on the internet. So I finding the old books, Legislative Council reports, biennial reports, and it didn't help me a whole lot, but I went to an interview with just a real basic knowledge of the office, and actually I wasn't the first choice. They'd offered the job to somebody else, and it was the first job I'd applied for in my last year of law school, and it actually ended up being the last one because they came back and asked to meet with me again, John and Jay, and we sat down and talked, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take the job, and that was it. So I had that interest, you know. I'd taken as I understand, one or two of the professors had given them a recommendation when they came back and said, you know, who has this interest in legislation and state and local government law, and I owe them, I guess, thanks for pointing me out and leading me in that direction, because I don't think there was anything that I did in those interviews that made me stand out more than anybody else, but it was that interest, I guess.
If I may continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please. Yes,
thank you, and don't feel bad, John. If you asked my wife, I wasn't her first choice either, so it's lucky for us, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So I ask it because I'm curious on what challenges that you foresee. We have a relatively newer staff on council. Over the last several years, we've had a lot of new staff members come in. You were talking about at the beginning or earlier that you know what can we do to cultivate that experience and to develop our talent within the office. Just knowing and understanding that and other challenges that you may recognize, from your experience, what challenges are we facing with Legislative Council over the next several years, and what can you or what can we collectively do to mitigate some of those challenges?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, that's a difficult question. It's not something that you're probably not necessarily going to like my answer in whole, but I think we do face a problem with retaining staff. With the young new staff, many of them were hired, as I said, within the last 5 years, which 5 years ago things were great. We were getting regular salary increases and everything was rosy. They've now gone essentially 2 years without pay increases, which that's market wise that's not helping us. It's not easy to compete, whether it's private sector or even state government. It was bad timing on all of our part, I guess, for the new hires. They are receiving job offers. We've been fortunate. They like their work here. They trust that things will change, and so far we haven't lost any. I'm not going to say that in 6 months from now, if we talk again, that's going to be the case. About 3 weeks ago, we get an email from the Supreme Court. The attorneys do every day. They list jobs at the bottom of the email usually. I saw it within a week, every one of the attorneys on the staff, I think, came to me and said, did you see this? It was an ad for a staff attorney with the state court administrator. The starting salary listed is higher than three of our attorneys that have been with us for some time now, and basically equivalent with the fourth. So half of our staff is paid at that level or below the starting one at the Supreme Court. The pay range for that position goes up to a point where it is higher than probably all but one of our attorneys. The job listing asked for 2 years of legislative drafting experience and testifying before legislative committees. It became pretty clear to us that they might have had somebody in mind, or they're targeting our staff. And I don't want that. I don't want us to be a training ground for the executive branch or the judicial branch or for the private sector, for that matter. I want us to be, as I said, a career destination. And so those types of things, when you see that, they stick out. And at the same time, I saw an ad again. It came out on a regular basis. a private law firm, small, under a smaller staff than us and Minot, that offered a starting salary higher than most of our staff. So that's a problem I see. I really do fear that we are in a position, in large part because of bad timing. We also don't have the luxury of some of the executive branch classified service. They may not have the statutorily or the legislatively provided pay raises, but they jump classifications. So they do move people around. We're a small agency, 34 people. Our budget is probably over 3/4 salaries and wages. So we don't, when we're faced with making 5%, 8%, whatever cuts, those cuts, they largely affect one thing, people. We've done Jim and Alan did a good job adjusting to some of the allotments that we followed last session, and we unfortunately, when you make those cuts, if they're not people, the other area that you can probably cut is things like information technology. We don't pursue all the initiatives we could pursue. IT is probably the primary area that can help make us more efficient. It makes us better at what we do because we can utilize the technology when we got the Legend system, our drafting system in 2011, it made us on the legal staff far more efficient than we had ever been because we could draft bills in, I'm going to say, one half the time that it took before. It was amazing, amazing advancement for us. And we need to keep looking at things like that that are going to make us more efficient and we can be leaner then. But to answer your question, that's my primary concern, Representative Mock, is that we can retain the good people we have and convince them that this is a place where they're going to want to stay. We've always been treated very well. I remember a previous chairman of, it was probably called Legislative Council at the time rather than Legislative Management. I think I'd probably gotten my 10-year award or something. That we always did it at holiday parties, and he made the point of saying that, you're here. No, you're one of us. I hope that you'll be here for a long time. We want the best staff in state government. We want the best staff around. Why should you have important jobs to do? And we're the ones that help you do that job. You should want the very best people available and not have to deal with seeing new faces every 2 years when you come around. So that's my, I guess, plea to you is be aware of kind of the downside of having new people is that we need to be able to retain those people and make them career employees.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. And in the interest of time, I really appreciate it. If everything moves forward as I would say as anticipated, or if favorable recommendations come from this, I hope that you will be willing and eager to work with this body, our appropriation committees, the entire legislative assembly to bring those recommendations or any recommendations that you see necessary forward so that we can puts you in the driver's seat to build the team and if there's any patchwork that needs to be done, help you get that in place, but to lay out strong foundations so that Legislative Council remains the destination for careers and not the starting place for people to cut their teeth and then go on elsewhere. Thank you for the honesty. We appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, thank you. I will. If I have the opportunity to continue serving you, I guess I feel it'll be my responsibility to let you know where we stand, and to make appropriate requests that will better the staff so that we all can do a better job for you.
Additional questions for John? You did mention one of the areas that you have been both a state leader and a national leader has been in redistricting. Do you plan to keep that portfolio, or will you be handing that off to others?
Mr. Chairman, I really enjoy that part of the job every 10 years.
You were honest enough to
leave. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's a grueling 4 or 5 month grind, but it's so fascinating, and it's so interesting to do. I'd like to remain involved, and that would be, you know, really, that's one of my goals is to be around here and be involved in that process. I don't see myself being the primary person, but I want to be part of the process. Over the last year, we participated in phase two of the Census Redistricting Data Project, which is mapping all of our precincts, existing precincts. And I had, I think, 5 of the members of the legal staff involved in that, just to kind of test the waters and see how they liked doing that. And surprisingly, I had, you know, It becomes addicting. You're sitting there at that computer drawing lines and moving things. And you know, every once in a while I had to tell some of them to, you know, step away. You know, the day is done, give it a break, because they got into it. So that was a great sign. I think we'll have, you know, 10 years ago, or 10 years ago, let's go back 30 years ago, almost, as the chairman knows, we had I worked on it. I did the legal side and the, you know, the administrative stuff. We had Dr. Floyd Hickok from UND, a geographer who built his own computer system and software, and it was the Floyd show. I mean, he did all the mapping. Everybody just sat and waited for Floyd to pull out maps. And 20 years ago, We had PCs and kind of the first real version of commercially available software to do it, and I was a staff person, legal and mapping, and I found that was pretty. I didn't enjoy that as much, Senator Klein. It was tough. 10 years ago, Vonette Richter joined me in doing that, and it made it a lot easier. It's at least a two-person job. So if I were here, I would commit to you that we would have at least 2 attorneys. I would really like to look at the possibility of maybe getting an intern with a GIS background to work with us during that process. Our IT people, they're not specialists in GIS stuff, but. You know, they help us to the extent they can. So if we had an intern, I think a geography student and a couple, at least 2 attorneys, and then me having my hands in it as well, I think we would have a pretty good team that would help you get through this. And just for your information, apparently I was appointed to a special working task force or something with NCSL. We're going to be meeting in Los Angeles at the end of the month and talking about redistricting stuff. And I, at that time, I also would like to meet with the vendors for the software, because it will have to be in the next biennium budget. So we'll be looking at software vendors as well.
And you weren't here in 81 where everything was on paper.
No.
And you had the tables covered with paper. Any other questions? Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, one of the comments John made was about you never really know how long you're going to be here. And I was just thinking, over half of the people on legislative management don't know after November 6th whether we're going to be here. So we at least have a hard deadline to meet. But I would, at this time, is there any Is there any motions? Representative Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move that we extend the offer for Director of Legislative Council to John Bjornson.
Is there a second to that motion?
I will second it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Wardner. Is there any discussion? You may take your seat. Seeing no discussion, we will call the roll on the motion to appoint John Bjornson as the Director of Legislative Council.
Senators. September 1.
September 1. That's what he said, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Effective December 1st.
September.
What did I say?
December.
Oh, well. See.
We'll get it right.
Yeah, get it right in a minute. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Armstrong.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Oban.
Yes.
Scheibly.
Yes.
Sorvog.
Aye.
Wardner.
Aye.
Representatives Ballou.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Hogan.
Yes.
LaFour.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Schmidt.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
Motion carried. Congratulations, John. You are on the mark to be the next Director of Legislative Council. Committee members, we, though, have one other thing we should keep in mind, is we have a director who is retiring very soon, in a month and a half. Is there any kind of surprise party that we should be aware of?
Mr. Chairman.
Or reception cake in the
hall?
We're
working on that. I think we're going to do something in the office, that kind of thing, and also something separate from that, but we'll get word to the committee members.
Okay.
If I could just take a moment and...
By all means.
I know we're running late. We had a filibuster.
so you see, that's the difference between lawyers and accountants. Okay. Go right ahead.
But as I've indicated before, you know, I've worked 39 years, 19 sessions. I worked for a CPA firm for 3 years before that, so I've got 42 years in. You know, when I started, similar to what John said, I took the job, didn't know very much about what happened in Legislative Council. As an accountant, it's like, okay, what are we actually doing here? I gave it 2 years, went through a two-year cycle, and then you kind of get hooked on it. Then opportunities come along, and you take advantage of those, and you end up where I am today, I guess. But so I just want to thank all the legislators that I've worked with over the years, all the leaders, Legislative Management Committee, appropriations. You know, I worked a number long time with the Appropriations Committee, and that's a big part of what we did. And then I really need to thank the dedicated staff that we have. And John went through that. You know, we've had turnover. Most of it was retirements. And we had a lot of people, you know, when I took over that had 20 years plus. So you could see it coming down the track. And so I think we've made great strides in replacing those people. Obviously, the key is to keep them. And that's what I tell the Appropriations Committees every 2 years is, you know, you just can't rest on what we've done in the past. We need to reward people and then make their work as easy as we can, because it is pretty demanding. And, you know, people that have the right mindset accept it and do well in the environment, because it's very important work that we're all doing. You know, John mentioned this, we're currently fully staffed until the end of August. We got 34 positions. That's two less than we had previous biennium. So we're kind of bare bones in that respect. We gave up a couple of positions to meet the funding requirements last session. But we do have experienced staff leadership. And I think Alan's presence and help with the budget, obviously that's one area that John hasn't been too involved. I'd like to, you know, kind of bring him up to speed in the next 6 weeks or whatever, to the extent we can. But that's a key part of managing the office as well.
our current budgets are in good shape. You know, we've got savings accumulated slightly for both the Legislative Assembly and Legislative Council, so that's a good thing. The interim committees are on course. Arrangements for the next session, we've got those underway. And then we're beginning work on the next biennium budget. So, you know, as you know, that gets submitted in November after the election. But we need to work with the Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee and kind of identify some of the things to include in that budget. But that will be a challenge as well. You know, I just want to say about John B., you know, he's probably one of the more dedicated employees that you're ever going to consider for Director of the Legislative Council. He's going to answer your questions night and day, so that's the expectation. He probably has more experience in our office coming in as director of anybody in the history of the office with 30 years experience. You know, I had 28, I think, prior to that. I don't know, John O. maybe had 15, 16, I don't know exactly what it was, and John Graham less than that. So, you know, that's a plus to be able to get that experience, and I think looking forward, probably need to look at succession planning and how you can have somebody that's prepared for a number of positions, but going down the road. So, you know, with that, I just, you know, the key to the success that the office has and any director is really the support from legislative management, legislative leaders, appropriations committees, and so I thank you for all that support over the years and hope you are able to give that to John as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and we look forward to the party, a reception, let's call it that.
Okay.
Committee members, is there anything else that we need to talk about? Oh, John. You're going to thank
Chairman,
us.
Okay. May I continue the filibuster? First of all, I really appreciate your confidence in me and going forward. I want to thank Jim for the guidance that he's given us over the years, and Alan. I assure you that Alan and I will work as a team. We've had a great relationship, and we will continue to have that relationship. And it won't be just me; it'll be Alan and I, Jason Steckler, the other division director. We will be a true team. I hate to, you know, throw a little water on the parade here, but I do hope that we will have the ability to fill the position that I will be vacating or move those things up, and I assume that those issues of you know, salary and things like that will be something that the chairman and I will discuss, or I just like some clarification, I guess. I appreciate the appointment, and I'd like to say I accept it, but that obviously there are things that I need cleared up, you know, as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Very appropriate. Okay, could we, and there is no word from the Supreme Court as to when they are going to tell us what they think about.
Pardon?
No, they don't have a summer recess. As I understand it, my daughter works for West, which does the publishing. All of you lawyers know what West is, and she loves it that the Supremes are gone, because now she doesn't really have to get to work on time on Mondays. That was the big thing. Everyone was at their desk. Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Chairman Holmberg. Does this committee needs to recommend or authorize you to negotiate a salary for Mr. Bjornson? A salary adjustment, should we have a motion to do that? Or is there any action we need to take so that someone has the authority to do that?
It is covered in the rules.
Oh, it's covered in the rules so that you have that authority. Thank you.
Right.
Just clarify.
Okay. Could we have a motion then to... Okay. Senator Klein moved and seconded. Okay, budget section meets shortly. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Alan, I sent that request.
Yeah, I'm talking about that.